Ethan, looks like there was a bit of a squabble.
Squabble. They're all dead.
Oh, must have been more of a zombie takeout then. What's up? Welcome to episode 119 of Zombie
Zombie
Takeout,
Takeout,
the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got, well, sort of a bit of listener submitted. This actually, I discovered this while I was looking for listener submitted. I was checking to see if there were any comments on the site for the last week's episode, and I noticed there was one reference, and I had no idea what that was, so I clicked...
Appreciate it. We appreciate
it. Oh, absolutely. I clicked through and eventually found out that the Movie Viewer Man blog over at movievoyeur.tumblr.com posted last week's episode, an embed of last week's episode, on their latest post about Eric the Viking, and threw us a link. So we wanted to, of course, say thank you for that.
Yeah.
You might want to listen to the episode first. just a hint, you know.
I thought he was going to, hate us. You know, then I'm reading down, it's like, you know, don't believe me. Just, although, I mean, I did give it 4, and you
yeah,
gave it
that's
3.5,
true.
Which
yeah,
is
we
trashing
didn't completely
it.
Hate it, but we didn't like it as much as he did.
Yeah.
All right, so on to some news. Both of these stories from AV Club. First story, Nicholas Winding Refn may be involved with a new Maniac Cop movie. The Daily Grindhouse, via Badass Digest, reports that writer-director Larry Cohen and producer William Lustig say that Refn, who is, of course, known for his arthouse-friendly spins on lurid B-movie material with films like Pusher, Bronson, and, of course, Drive, is in talks to join the remake, or, as Cohen calls it, prequel to Maniac Cop, the examination of the inherent human flaws in local law enforcement as embodied by a hulking, deranged police officer who kills people in gruesome ways. Cohen admits that it's not yet confirmed that Refn will be involved, nor has the film, which Cohen promises will have a bigger budget than the original and its sequels, been 100% signed off on. So it's not exactly greenlit. Cohen, or rather, Refn isn't necessarily involved. They just want him. Refn got very close to an Oscar. Did he get nominated for Drive, or maybe it was a little late?
A lot of people felt he should have.
Yeah, he's definitely will be getting an Oscar nod, if not an award in the near future. I don't know why he would want to go back and do Maniac Cop.
Well,
because I mean, yeah, the other movies I've seen Drive. Pusher, like I said when we did Trailer Clash, I'm very curious to see his version of that story.
That was a great episode of Trailer Clash, and I'm glad they started doing episodes again because I was afraid we broke it.
Yeah, they took them a while to get a new one out.
I started to get nervous there.
But, you know, yeah, they are kind of B-movie material, but he kind of elevates them. Even though I didn't love Drive, it was very well made. I don't know why he'd want to go back and do a straight-up B-movie.
I don't know. Who can blame him? I mean, well, you know, the money's cool and everything, but sometimes if you just love this genre
like
we do.
If that's where his heart is, then by all means, I'd love to see it. Especially
because I think I would do the same thing. Even, you know, if I made my money, like, all right, sure. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to make the samurai movie.
Yeah, true. So that will be interesting to see if he actually follows through on that. Next story. Darren Aronofsky wants to make an Unforgiven-like movie about George Washington.
An Unforgiven-like movie about George Washington?
Yes. Variety reports that Paramount is negotiating to acquire The General, described as Aronofsky's Unforgiven-like tale of America's first president.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. The script hails from Adam Cooper and Bill Collage, whose previous credits are the Justin Long comedy Accepted, the Olsen Twins, New York Minute, and Tower Heist.
All right, you're saying words.
Yeah.
But I'm not really formulating them together to make any sense out of them.
The guys who wrote an Olsen Twins movie.
Right. Are going to do a picture about George
An
Washington.
Unforgiven-like movie about George Washington, directed by Aronofsky, who, again, very close to an Oscar last year with Black Swan.
A dude who was, a farmer who pretty much, managed to win a war without winning that many battles.
Right.
That's, the history of it. The revolution, he only won a couple of battles,
Right,
really.
right.
A lot of it was just, oh, well, he managed to retreat in time and elude, the British, but he didn't actually win that many
No,
battles.
no.
I mean, of course, he didn't have to because his force wasn't, it was inferior to the British, just needed to survive.
Right.
But
And
that's not badass material.
no, and Unforgiven Western Revolutionary War. And guys who are known for cheesy comedies. Writers who are known for cheesy comedies.
Yeah, the revolution. I they really can make, if they just kept it real, it would be so much more
Oh,
interesting
absolutely. I
than
was
anything to
actually
come up with.
going to say, if it happens, I hope they cast David Morse as Washington, because if you saw HBO's John Adams, he was brilliant in the part.
Yeah, I think that's on my Netflix also. I have not gotten to that yet.
David Morse was brilliant as a Washington, and Giamatti plays Adams.
Adams, yeah.
Fucking brilliant. You have to see it. So, if it happens, hopefully Morse will play Washington again. But I just doesn't make sense, because again, Aronofsky's kind of known for the artsy thing.
Right.
Granted, I hated Black Swan, but most people loved it, and The Wrestler got a lot of praise. And now he wants to do this.
Yeah, I. Although Bruce Campbell is George Washington, would be fucking awesome.
Yes.
Let's be honest. If they've cast Bruce Campbell as the father of our country, and let's just be honest, Bruce Campbell really is the father of our country.
Absolutely. And okay, you
I'm
got
there to
him
see
as Washington. Of course, you have to cast Ted as Benjamin Franklin.
it.
All right, so on to this week's movie, if your brain isn't broken enough from that. And it is from 1983, Yellowbeard. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by books. They'll just end up getting you raped.
True that. All right, so we have it, much like this is kind of the inversion of Eric the Viking,
Yeah,
isn't it?
kind of.
Where we have our hero is the the pirate's pirate, as they refer to him, I think, on one of the websites, which I guess that's the way to put it. He's your prototypical pirate,
Yes.
where he everything is about raping and pillaging and just doing things in nasty ways. And maybe that's what Jones was going at, is turning that movie on its head.
Possibly. Weren't they the same year, or?
Oh no, Eric the Viking was much
Oh
later.
no, that was 89. I keep forgetting.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah, maybe it was a twist on Yellowbeard.
It was turning it upside
Yeah,
down.
yeah,
It's
yeah.
taking the, what if the hero was the sensitive guy?
Right.
But right, so he is locked up in prison, but before he was locked up in prison, he had hidden a massive treasure somewhere, and the only place he had left the map was, well, he'd left it with his woman, who in turn burned it, but put tattooed it on her son's head when he was a baby, and somehow it kept. Actually, it must have been a giant tattoo if you think about the size of what it was when you actually see it at the end, because it just covers his entire skull. I mean, wouldn't it have had to have been? Well, never mind. I don't want to think about it. But anyway, they come up with this plot to have him escape from prison so they can follow him to the treasure. But he was about to get out, so they could have just let him get out because
That's
he would have gone
true.
for the treasure anyway. But again, I'm thinking too much of this.
Uh-huh.
He gets out, he stows away on this government ship where they his son and his friends have been impressed upon, and they cause a mutiny. And of course they get to the treasure, and you really could just say hilarity ensues. It's a pretty simple plot if you think about it.
Any more would be giving too much away.
Yeah.
Now, Yellowbeard is apparently based on murderous real-life pirate Edward Blackbeard Teach, who was known for weaving hemp into his hair and lighting it. That's where they got that idea from. Because there's
Yeah.
another number of times you see him with these, things that basically look what look like little fuses in his hair burning.
I mean, that was a tactic.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Cheech and Chong had pretty much made it by this point, right? This wasn't like early on in their career.
That I guess that is really the first thing you talk about this movie is the cast.
Oh yeah, cast is well. It's a great cast. I can't say
It's
brilliant, but it's a great cast.
a jaw-dropping cast
Yeah.
if you think. Just think about this. This is like John and Ringo and Paul getting together with Mick Jagger and Keith
Right,
Richards
right.
and with the cameo by David Bowie. No, that's not the metaphor. There was seriously a cameo by
Well,
David Bowie in the movie. No, so what I'm talking about, of course, is you've got Eric Idle, Graham Chapman, and John Cleese from Python with Cheech and Chong,
And
which
Madeline Kahn, Marty Feldman, Peter
Madeline
Boyle,
Kahn, Marty Feldman, Peter Boyle,
Peter Cook.
and Peter Cook, Nigel Planner. So Neil from The Young Ones, while The Young Ones were still going. Or they probably filmed this just as The Young Ones started.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because 83 was about where they.
They started in 82.
Okay, it was. I thought it was more like a year or so.
Yeah, so they probably were filming this at the same time he was starting The Young Ones.
Right.
Crazy,
Yeah.
insane, ludicrous cast if you think about it. They're really only missing George Carlin and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they have the entire world of comedy just covered there. And not even just for the time period, but if you're talking about the young ones, you're talking about comedy for the next 10 years too.
Right. And maybe a cameo by Mel Brooks.
Right.
Because you've got Boyle, Kahn, and Feldman there.
It's what's missing from this movie was a good director.
Wow. A lot of things we're missing from this movie, but we'll start there, yeah.
No, the director is the thing would have solve the other problems, I'm thinking.
Maybe. I'll get into some trivia here. The original concept for the film was funded by Chapman's close friend Keith Moon, who wanted to play the lead role but because of his health couldn't. And it had a bit of a complicated development history, largely due to the amount of time it took to get the funding. At least four different versions of the script were written.
Yeah.
The one that's truest to the original by Chapman and Bernard McKenna is in the book Yellowbeard Hijinks on the High Seas. Major differences between Chapman and McKenna's script and the one altered for the Hollywood version is less emphasis on the minor characters that was in the original, and more emphasis on the overall plot. They also did an edit where that basically made the jokes more obvious. They wouldn't let Chapman edit the movie or go anywhere into the editing because he wanted to make the jokes more subtle.
Yeah,
I think they should
which
have let him edit it.
Very true,
And
and maybe and that would have helped too.
I'd love to see the original script.
It's strange that they just didn't make this a Python movie,
Yeah.
in total.
Kind of interesting that the other two were directed by the Terrys, Gilliam and
Yes,
Jones, and they're not in this.
right, and so you get the feeling there was some sort of riff.
Yeah, they split up around this time or shortly before. So, there may have well been some bad blood.
Well, in actuality, they'd split up, long before
Oh, did they?
this.
Okay.
I mean, the show ended in 74,
Oh, okay. I thought it was later than that.
and so it just got revived again in like the late 70s
Ah, that's why
when
it
they were
seems
playing it
right.
in American public television.
Right.
And so, they did the Holy Grail as soon as the show ended, really. And then, got together for Life of Brian in the late 70s. But why wouldn't they just keep that going?
Yeah.
Why not have, Gilliam direct this? But Gilliam had just done Time Bandits the year before
Right.
this. And noticeably, Graham Chapman is not in any of the non-Python movies.
That's true, except for this one.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in any of the Gilliam or in either of the other two.
Well, this was his movie, really.
Well, yeah, it was a chance to star.
I mean, he wrote it with, his partner for the most part.
Yeah.
And the director, of course, was just a hack that they'd hired.
And when Cleese got the script, he said he thought it was the worst thing that he'd ever read.
Which is kind of crazy because I think it's a better script than Time Bandits still.
I don't agree. The jokes are just, and again, this is the script as produced.
Yeah.
I can, I, again, I like, I'd love to read the original, but I saw every joke coming. And Time Bandits, I was loving Time Bandits until the end ruined it. So I have issues with the script, and the jokes were, I have in my notes, disappointingly cheap. Because there was no surprise. They were all the obvious, yes, this is, you could see the punchlines a mile away.
Oh, but you couldn't see things like they had a mixture of jokes in there. You couldn't see that they were gonna lock Cleese in the shed and blow it up.
That was clever. I'll give them that.
There's no way you could have seen that coming.
There were a few.
I've seen this movie, I don't know how many times, and I didn't see that coming this time
Wow.
around.
There were a few things that I thought were slightly amusing. The coin on the string.
Yes.
Cleese's character is blind, and he's basically a spy. But every time
Right.
he gives any information, he holds out a coin purse. And Idol's character eventually shows up with a coin on a string to get information out of him. That was slightly amusing. The three farthings line, which you'll hear later in the episode, folks. Don't want to give any more than that away.
Yeah.
That got a chuckle out of me. And Mr. Prostitute. On the ship, on the on Idol's character's ship that's pursuing was no, it was the ship that they were press ganged onto.
Yes.
The captain is introducing his officers, and one of them was obviously a woman in men's clothes and a fake mustache, who he introduces as Mr. Prostitute.
After having this big deal about not allowing women on
Yeah,
board.
because they're bad luck.
Right.
Oh, and Chong's line about any bad acting, and I'll, was it scare you to death?
Well,
That was funny.
yeah, I think that was probably the best part of the movie for me was just the entire kind of making fun of the action movie where they're busting into the place. So rather than actually offering up a defense, they pretend to get it. I mean, don't, I mean just the absurdity of a lot of it. He's trying to wrap your head around. The plan was to lure them into a false sense of security. I don't know if I've gotten this right either, because I mean, it
Well, it
is really
basically
out there.
was. It was try to get them into the fortress, for lack of a better word,
Right.
so that they could trap them in the room with the torture chair and the pool of acid.
Right.
Cheech and Chong play basically inquisitors.
Right. So, yeah, in that plan though, they want to make sure that there's no bad acting.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
Which in a bad movie is a great line.
exactly.
Although I gotta say, the performances, at least from the known, the well-known actors, all pretty solid, except for Khan. And I love Madeline Khan, I'm a big fan, but she was just really chewing the scenery in this one.
Really, I actually thought I was thinking Tommy Chong was pretty
Well, I don't expect much from Cheech and Chong, acting-wise. I expect them to be funny, and they kind of were. I loved the parody of the Castilian accent that Chong was doing.
Yeah.
He basically said everything, no attempt at an accent, but a lisp.
Right.
That I got a kick out of. And Chong and Cheech was great in a smaller part, but he was great. Madeline Kahn I just didn't buy. It was almost like a deadpan version of every character she's played.
I don't know. I think, she. I can't really see doing any that role any differently. I mean, you're supposed to just be playing off of Yellowbeard, and of course, oh, he's just the whole matter of fact. Oh, he must have been reformed by prison. Now he's finally taking his clothes off when he's raping. Just the delivery of some of the lines I thought were
Yeah.
priceless.
Maybe it was a choice that it just didn't work for me. She chose to play it bored.
Yes.
Which, okay, it just didn't. I really didn't laugh at any of this. I got a couple of chuckles, like I mentioned before, but none of it was really funny to me.
That's what we chose our sponsor, though. Books.
Yeah, that line was, well, again with the rape jokes, which I'm kind of.
Yeah, no, I was wondering what you were going to say about this.
I wasn't really going to bring it up after last week because, I didn't want to sound like a broken record, but there was one rape joke in Eric the Viking. There was like six in this one.
Yes, this one damn near celebrated it.
Yeah.
This one flat out said that that's what women want.
Pretty much, yeah. But it just didn't. I mean, I wasn't offended by it. It just didn't make me laugh either.
It's something. I mean, our sensibilities now are like, whoa, wow. I mean, come on, because we are just so sensitive about things. I
Well,
mean,
yeah.
can't even explain the word midget without people rolling their eyes at me.
But I think that maybe because we've hit a few movies that it did surprise me in how politically incorrect they were because they were older, I'm kind of over it now.
Yeah.
And now I'm just judging it on the quality of the joke and not the shock value.
Yeah.
And the quality really didn't do anything for me. Calling it bad was is maybe an overstatement, but I think it's more disappointment with the potential.
Yeah. That is something you just can't escape.
If this was a bunch of unknowns, it would just be kind of mediocre. But when you have this cast, and when it's the last roles of, Marty Feldman, Graham Chapman, and Spike Milligan, you just want more.
It's really sad actually to look at that whole trivia of this. That I mean that last scene of Marty Feldman too,
Well,
where they kill him off.
he died during the production. So that wasn't him. They
Right.
just had to find a way to dispatch with the character
And
to
we knew
explain why he
that.
wasn't there anymore.
We knew that even back in the day. I mean that was just I mean, yeah, he died in production of it, and they kinda have that, cheesy stunt double thing. But then there's Peter Boyle's, line, just, oh, we'll miss you, buddy. Just, ah. But then, of course, the real crazy thing is, even though Chapman lived for another 6 years after this, he never did another full length.
Well, I think he died of cancer or something along those lines, right?
Yeah, but he didn't come down. I mean, they didn't even know about it till like 5 years later.
Oh, okay, he wasn't sick at this point.
Right.
So that is maybe he just chose to retire.
And yeah, and that of course led me to read about just how he died. And kind of back in the 80s, kind of assumed it was AIDS. They did that a lot, people, they died of quote unquote cancer when in
And
fact
Chapman
AIDS.
wasn't even publicly out at that point, was he?
Yeah,
Oh, he was? Okay.
he was out for I don't know. I mean, it just wasn't a big deal. He didn't make
Oh,
a big
okay.
deal of it. But, that partner of his, they were together for like almost 30 years, which was why it wasn't AIDS in his case, because he wasn't promiscuous. Yeah, but it was really scary as hell that he, I mean, they went to a dentist and they found like, it was just this whole series of tumors that just kept appearing. Like from his, I think it was from his face to his spine, and they kept removing one, and then another would just pop up, and it just went on for a year. Yeah, so that was just, whew. So yeah, after seeing the movie and then looking at some of the trivia, and just, whew, that was more of a downer.
Which is saying a lot for this movie, because, like I said, massive disappointment. Among the bewildering number of changes was the change of the lead from Adamant to Sting to Martin Hewitt. Now think about that progression. Martin Hewitt, of course, played Dan, his Yellowbeard's son. Adamant? Really?
I was wondering where Adamant was supposed to be in this.
He was Dan, and then they decided to cast Sting. Ant was frustrated with the production delays, and he quit. Sting wanted to play the role, but Hollywood producers thought that the film was becoming too British. Wasn't about 80% of the cast British, and Martin Hewitt is British.
Yeah.
But Hewitt is actually credited as quoted as saying, "Sting should have my part for crying out loud. I would have hired Sting over me any day."
Well,
We've
Sting.
seen Sting in a couple, in at least one role, I think maybe two in this on this show. I think Hewitt was better.
Yeah, I do too.
I like Sting as an actor if it's something heavy and dark and dramatic. He does that well.
I
I
don't
can't
know.
see him doing comedy
No. And
at all.
really, I don't understand why the studio execs were worried about this becoming too British of a movie when people were just absolutely insane for Monty Python.
Right.
The
And British comedy in general had gotten very big at this point.
Right.
But I think Boyle and Kahn were the only Americans who I noticed.
Right.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody.
No, I think that was it. Well, of course, Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about them. Yep. So four Americans in this cast.
Right.
And basically a who's who of British comedy.
Right.
And they were concerned about one guy making it too British. Although, like I said, I think they made the right choice because Hewitt was good.
Yeah.
For probably a lot better than Sting would have been, and definitely better than Adam Ant.
I couldn't see a Python member like
No, they
playing
would have
that.
been. They're too old. They're contemporaries with
Yeah.
Chapman, so they wouldn't have played it as
They
his
could have
son.
casted another one of the young ones, maybe. Or
Oh
Nigel
yeah.
Planner could have done it, or I mean, Yeah, I don't understand why they wouldn't do that. Because they would obviously be
Yeah, they were the up and comers.
Hugh Laurie at the time.
Right? Oh yeah, or Fry.
You're
Either
right.
of those two.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry in this movie would have been great.
Yeah.
Might have actually made it a little better. But yeah, I just the idea of Adam Ant or Sting in the role of this can I was and Hewitt saying that it was a bad choice not to cast Sting, I don't get that. Maybe he's a huge Police
I
fan.
guess so. Because, I mean, then I think this movie would have been a disaster, probably.
Yeah,
I
probably
mean,
yeah.
right now it's just kind of teetering, you know? It's got, like, it's on the edge. But I think it does hold it together to. It could have done better, but I don't think it actually fell.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
There was one very clever idea, I thought. The stagger, stagger, crawl, crawl on the way to the map. Basically, Yellowbeard's directions on how to find the treasure were, in fact, I guess he had been stabbed at that point, and he was
Drunk.
counting the number. Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah, I guess apparently he was drunk, and it was a stagger, stagger, crawl, crawl in these different directions.
Yes.
Very clever idea. I don't think they executed it well. And it was pretty much just Cleese and Hewitt. I don't understand why it wasn't executed well. Maybe the whole problem is the director.
Well, and then the troops doing it too, and
Yeah.
Madeline Kahn, doing. I mean, yeah, I think that's what I mean by if they
On
had,
paper, that's hilarious.
right, if they had a steady hand at director, this movie would be a five-brain movie without a doubt.
Yeah, probably.
I think you got to have somebody there putting the film together that knows comedy, not obsessed with making it an American movie versus a British one.
Right.
Which is really a shame that that happened to this, because this could have really been one of the best.
Yeah. All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a long run we've had, and I'm
No sequels and remakes because there were none. And I can't really see remaking it.
who the fuck? Well, all right. So
Okay, we're gonna get into this?
you remake this.
Okay.
You gotta do what they did and have the best, just,
Current British.
yeah, current, well, just current comedy in general.
Okay, yeah, don't necessarily stick to British.
Right. I mean, it's not that, it had to be a British
Right.
comedy. It's
Right.
just, it had to be funny.
Yeah. Although I can definitely see the Jack Davenport in Idol's role.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Jack Davenport. Get him away from that god awful Smash show.
I have no idea what he's doing now. He's done a bunch of American stuff that's been horrible.
He's on that show Smash.
Oh, he is? Oh,
Yeah,
good.
he's the director.
Eek.
Let him keep his British accent this time.
Oh. Okay. What about Yellowbeard?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm gonna go obvious because I mentioned Davenport, but I think he works. Coyle.
Well, the problem is Yellowbeard needs to be a big dude.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, good point, good point.
You're gonna probably hate that I bring this name up. I would say Galifianakis.
He definitely looks the part, and I don't have a big problem with him. I like the stand-up work.
Wow, I'm not even familiar with his stand-up work. He does
Yeah, I like
stand
a lot of his stand. I knew of him as a stand-up well before, and as he started acting.
Yeah.
I kind of like his stand-up.
But
He definitely looks right.
he does buy into a role, you know? There's
That's
not this
true.
Jack Black thing about mugging it up too much,
Yeah.
which, you know, if you'd put him in that, that's what would happen, and I think he would
Oh, of
be
course.
way
Yeah,
off
Black would
course.
be horrible.
You know, he suddenly Yellowbeard would have this thing about music and have to, you know, work that in somehow. No.
Yeah, I can't see Black in any of the anything doing anything in this movie.
I mean, really,
I don't know if Galifianakis can do imposing though.
Chapman is what makes this movie at
Yeah.
any level work. The quirks about, you know, getting his attention. The guard comes in and just fucking wailing away on his back with a stick, and of course he's just sitting there going on with the conversation after like hit like the sixth time, like, all right, what do you want? So yeah,
Of course, Cleese has to play the spy.
reprisal
Yeah.
of blind
Well,
view.
he's still around, you give him the same role.
Cheech and Chong reprising their role also.
Is Tommy Chong available?
I I think so.
Okay, I haven't been keeping track.
I've liked his, you know, later work. I mean, I liked him on that 70s
Yeah,
show.
that's true. Yeah, he was good there. Yeah, if Chong is done with the sitcoms and the trying to be a straight actor.
You gotta think about it though, and I'm just speculating here.
Cheech, whatever. I think I missed a Chong there.
But imagine the amount of drugs that were on this fucking
Oh, God.
set. I mean, Eric Idle does this shtick with snuff,
Yeah,
and
I don't think it was probably snuff.
you really have to wonder what
Yeah.
is in that. I mean, we've heard the stories about Carrie Fisher, you know, partying with them around the time of Empire Strikes Back.
Right, and basically that, as she tells it, that was her corruption.
Oh yeah, it was fucking Roman Empire, you know,
Yeah.
at its height. But I, you know,
So.
this is right before the party really ended. But I imagine this set was just like that.
God, yeah. But Cheech and Chong, who probably weren't, their characters, but probably weren't far from it either.
Yeah.
Really can't think of anybody else for a remake.
It's tough because if you just
Yeah.
have so Peter Boyle, who replaces Peter Boyle with anybody if you think about it?
And is he still around?
No, he
Oh, he died
passed just a
recently.
couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, who could? I can't see anybody taking
And
Boyle's
how do you think
role.
about it? Was this before Young Frankenstein?
I don't know. I suspect it was
Let's see.
after.
I would think it would be before because, yeah, and he died in 06. I just got his age
Okay.
up now. But yeah, this was 83. I think.
Well, it had to be bef after Frankenstein because Feldman died during the making of
Oh, you know? Yeah, you're right. That's a complete Yogi Berra-ism. You
That
know,
just occurred to me.
Frankenstein, I had no idea it was this long ago. I assumed Young Frankenstein was an 80s movie.
No, it was 70s.
74. Wow. This was actually the year before a future zombie takeout movie, if there ever was one, Johnny Dangerously.
Ah, yes. But again, Boyle is another one that is very hard to replace.
Yeah.
Actually, you have a lot of people here who are extremely hard to replace. How do you replace Madeline Kahn?
Yeah.
Who currently can do what she did, except maybe Sarah Silverman?
Oh yeah, perfect.
That just occurred to me. She could work.
Yeah.
But that's the problem, is it's such a great cast. It's hard. You'd have to pick. It's not like there's a couple of key people you have to cast. You have to cast just about everybody.
I think Boyle is one of the most impressive out of this because his role usually is just phoned in. And you kind of even get the feeling in the very beginning he was a little, but by the end of it, he was.
He's buying into it. Yeah,
yeah.
he's owning it. Cleese was actually a bit phoned in, but it's Cleese, so it's still great.
Oh yeah, it was still absolutely one of the best parts of the movie.
And he pretty much said he did the movie. He hated the script. He did the movie as a favor to Chapman.
He has so been in much worse than this, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I vaguely remember that movie Clockwise he did.
Don't think I saw that one.
Yeah.
Rat Race was a bit pathetic. The Mad Mad World remake.
Oh,
did.
Good God, yeah.
All right, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Yeah, like I said, massive disappointment. If it had been a bunch of nobodies, it would be a solid 2.5, maybe a 3.
Oh, wow.
But given who was in it, I gotta go down to 2.
Oh, wow, I would not go that low with this. I think that there's so much of it that did work. I mean, there's a lot of it that didn't. It was something that, though, just, it was a moment in time, you know?
Safe just this guy, you know?
But there's a lot of, it's definitely worth checking out, and I'd have to go 3.5.
Okay, so what have we learned?
We learned that it was stagger, stagger, crawl, not stagger, crawl, stagger.
And I learned that the pythons had a bit of trouble adjusting after the troops split up.
Yeah. They definitely needed Miss Gilliam or Jones in the director's seat on this one.
Actually, referring to this trilogy in general.
Oh, definitely.
Because I haven't loved any of them.
You know,
neither of us have gone, I think, as highly as we expected to.
Because also you could easily say in Bandits and in The Viking, they missed Graham Chapman in both of those.
Yeah. And they were all, to varying degrees, kind of misfires.
Yeah.
Even though you like this one, you got to admit it was still a misfire given the potential.
Well, right. And it's a hard, hard thing to live up to with the cast that they assembled for it.
And Time Bandits and Eric the Viking also both were kind of misfires. And given where they were coming from and the genius that was Monty Python, I mentioned this after we were recorded last week. It's kind of depressing. You know?
Yeah.
Because these were really the first high-profile things they did after the fact, and really not good.
They did a lot of other movies that no one's ever seen, like Clockwise.
Right. I don't think I've even ever heard of that one. Maybe it should be on the list.
Jabberwocky, which I remember just being a total bore fest.
Was it? I don't think I've ever seen it. I've been meaning to check it out.
I remember.
But after this, maybe not.
I remember absolutely nothing happening. And yeah, I think after you watch those, you'll think that these are probably some of their best work.
These may go up a bit in my estimation, yeah.
In fact, I don't even see Clockwise on Cleese's IMDb.
Wow.
How did you somehow disown it?
All right, so like we said last time, we're taking the next couple of weeks off.
Yes.
We need a break.
Oh, my God.
You're vacationing, so. But we will be back in 3 weeks with Reanimator, yes, as requested by William Holling in a email a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode descriptions, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes, the movie list where you can see everything that we've done so far and everything that we're looking to do in the future, the request form. Yes, you can request a movie. In case anyone might be looking at the results, I had to take a few off. They're just the stuff we've already done just because I was running out of room. Just to explain why the list might be missing a few.
Oh, okay.
Also, you can send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail.
I was going to say 312. 414-368-9861.
So, until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are. Until 2 more weeks.
Can I have 3 farthings for a lump of shit, please?
I beg your pardon?
I said, can I have 3 farthings for a lump of shit?
No.
Ruffin isn't necessarily involved. They just want him. Okay, Cohen. I keep saying Cohen. Ruffin got very close to